August the 12th, 1961. Ara reading the introduction to Douglass's book. Early in 1953, I found on the shelves of our public library a book called The Unfolding Universe by Arthur Findlay. I felt impelled to take this book, although it was a new departure in reading for me, my interests up to that moment being mainly in art and the nature cure philosophy of living and healing. Evidently, the time had arrived to take a step forward that would give a wider horizon of thought from which to view the greater dimensions of living beyond the physical range, and for which our present life is but the preparatory school. The book intrigued me so much that I felt I had to pass it on to a friend with whom I shared many interests. I remember the occasion so well. My friend was working in her garden when, with some apprehension, I handed her the fateful book. Giving it no more than a cursory glance, she promised to look at it when she had time. Returning a few days later, however, I realized that the book had made a very deep impression. For in a tone of great determination, she said, "About that book on spiritualism, I've got to look into this." That was the beginning of a grand adventure, a new, all-engrossing enthusiasm, far surpassing our previous ones, an enthusiasm which still holds us in its warm embrace. Since those early days, we have both read widely on this fascinating subject, but the unfolding universe will always hold pride of place in our affection because it was the first book to open our eyes to the reality of the unseen world which exists around and about us in ever higher degrees of vibration or states of being. It gave us an entirely new and intelligible conception of life and death, an uplifting philosophy, and a scientific basis on which to build our own personal investigations and experiences. Later came the wonderful books by Maurice Barbonell, which we enjoyed enormously. How eagerly we looked forward to the weekly edition of Two Worlds, and still do, to its attractive successor in monthly form. It was on account of my letter, printed in Two Worlds of May the 23rd, 1959, which brought me so many letters of inquiry, that although I do not pretend to be able to write, I am trying to do so, hoping thereby to encourage others to make their own inquiries and realize personally the comfort and joy and new zest for life which come through knowing even a little about the next stage of life into which we all enter when the spirit is released from the physical body at death. How tragic it is that so many people break down physically and mentally when loved ones pass on, instead of rejoicing at their liberation from earthly frustrations and pain and sorrow, and helping them by being happy, sending out radiant thoughts, and creating, somewhere in the home, a focal point of special beauty with flowers and fragrance and glorious color, an altar radiating peace and power, to help those on a higher vibration to draw closer to us and give them a real welcome when they look in, as they often do. Where the relationship is one of understanding, love, and harmony, there is no parting. Often during sleep, we leave the physical body, which is an instrument for earthly experience only, and meet our loved ones. Sometimes we travel with them to exciting regions near and far from Earth. On this point, my husband has said recently, through a medium with whom I have had many sittings, "It is wonderful being here, and I long for you to join me, but you are spending such a lot of time with me during the sleep state that it is almost like a world in reverse. Therefore, be as content as I am with these circumstances. Realize, darling, that you have chosen a longer path on the physical plane. But realize also that if you put life into reverse and say, as so many have said before, this is the real life, this is the shadow, it will be just as interesting for you." At the conclusion of the same sitting on the third anniversary of my husband's passing, Mrs. North said, "He is placing his ornate buttonhole, which he says indicates his joy at passing, onto your lap and saying, 'Rejoice with me, because now I am so free. I do so much. I wanted so much to do. Rejoice with me, darling. I know you do.'" My friend was the first to put her reading to the test, and on the recommendation of Arthur Findlay, to whom she had written for advice, joined in 1953 the Melbourne Spiritualist Association, now called the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain, and had many sittings with the first-class mediums there. It was very interesting to listen to these wonderful experiences, but the time was drawing near when, on account of the passing of my husband on June 6, 1958, I was to make my own inquiries and investigations and to receive overwhelming evidence that life and love and adventure, everything that makes for happiness and progress, continues in the spheres beyond death in ever-increasing beauty and intensity. In the following pages will be found records of my sittings with mediums of high purpose and integrity, taken during the 3.5 years following my husband's passing. At first, I was not able to take more than a few notes. Communicating with loved ones who had passed to higher planes of thought and action was a sublime experience, intensifying the color and beauty of life beyond the reach of words. But in time, note-taking became easier and more complete. Early in 1960, however, a tape recorder solved my problems by providing a means whereby everything that was said at a sitting could be registered verbatim and enjoyed afterwards by others as well as myself. I took it on all occasions where consent was given. A few of our finest mediums find they are a hindrance to the full expression of their psychic powers and do not permit their use. How grateful I am to these wonderful people who have the supreme gift of being able to tune in quite naturally to the higher vibrations of spirit, to worlds of activity beyond the ordinary person's range of perception. What exquisite joy they have brought to me and to countless others. Ideally, perhaps, we should not have to rely on mediums. We should be sensitive ourselves and in touch with the finer vibrations of spirit. But until we reach that blissful state, how delightful and infinitely worthwhile it is to keep in touch with our loved ones, who ardently desire to keep in touch with us, through sensitives who are specially endowed for this purpose. There were many other mediums I longed to meet, but by November the 11th, 1960, my husband had become a very proficient communicator by direct voice and expressed a desire to concentrate on that form of contact. His views on this matter will be found in the tape-recorded seance of January the 25th, 1961. Dramatic developments are on the way, for the spirit world is working hard to make communication easier, so that from the fountainhead may stream forth undefiled knowledge which will clear away all the misunderstandings about life and death and give the true conception. What wonderful possibilities lie ahead. When this knowledge is generally known and accepted, when it becomes the cardinal point around which education from childhood onwards is based, what a revolution in thought and conduct will be the result. Then, slowly but surely, a new era of peace and joy, love and service will dawn for all mankind, irrespective of color, race, or creed.